This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Let's face it, sometimes multitasking can be overwhelming, like when your favorite podcast is playing and the person next to you is talking and your car fan is blasting, all while you're trying to find the perfect parking spot. But then again, sometimes multitasking is easy, like quoting with Progressive Insurance. They do the hard work of comparing rates so you can find a great rate that works for you, even if it's not with them. Give their nifty comparison tool a try, and you might just find getting the rate and coverage you need is easy. All you need to do is visit Progressive's website to get a quote with all the coverages you want, like comprehensive and collision coverage or personal injury protection. Then you'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies all lined up and ready to compare, so it's simple to choose the rate and coverages you like. Press play on comparing auto rates. Quote at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
3, 2, 1.
Live from Los Angeles,
it's the PHP.
The Perez Hilton
Podcast.
We're my man,
Chris Booker.
Chris Booker.
It's Booker, baby.
And the one and only world famous Perez.
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 Baby, Perez Hilton.
Y'all ready?
It's the PHP.
Why, hello and welcome to the PHP. My name is Booker. That would be Perez. What's coming up on the show?
Today, of course, we're going to be talking about the Grammys. We're going to be talking about J-Lo and A-Rod as well. Some more royal drama as well as developments with Sharon Osbourne. We never even got into all of the Piers Morgan stuff from last week. We're talking Demi Lovato, Chris Harrison and The Bachelorette, Armie Hammer, Adele, Selena Gomez, and more.
Wow.
But first, I did watch a little bit of the Real World New York Homecoming. It's a little upsetting because they don't do it like Netflix does, where they, I think I mentioned this already, where they drop all the episodes at once. So we only were able to watch the first two episodes. It just took me back to the 90s, man. But I used to watch The Real World the first season obsessively. And they reminded me during the show, one of the reasons why it was so popular is MTV used to show it all the time. Like, they would have marathons of it and just show it over and over and over and over and over again. And these people were huge stars back then for a period in time. But it also just goes to show you, you know, fame comes and fame goes for a lot of people. And it was really nice to just spend more time with them. It felt like I was catching up with old friends, literally old friends, and they're older now, but they still want to turn up a little bit. And Heather B brought the whole bar with her, and they're all getting drunk, and it was a good time. But let's just get right to the... Well, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Let's just get right to it. Watching the Grammys, I guess I was just in a mood. I was so emotional throughout the entire show. I just kept crying.
There was nothing emotional about the show.
Just that I think what they set off to accomplish, they were successful in doing that, in trying to create as normal as possible, given the circumstances, a show. Mm-hmm. Big performances, and everybody was there, and they were live, and honestly, I could not stop crying. Even, like, the stupidest things would make me cry. It just felt really good watching it, and quickly, you know, we'll get through it all. I took notes. Some people aren't really worth much of our time, so we'll just like, oh, okay, whatever, but mm-hmm. there are some people that I want to talk about, and first, I was very wrong, and I'll say it again. I was very wrong about Watermelon Sugar. Hi! I did not like that song when it first came out, but now I love it. Not only that, oh my God, I'll own up to my stuff. I think the first time I heard it, I'm like, the lyrics just did not sit with me. I'm like, yeah. Watermelon Sugar High. It felt stupid. But then the more I listened to it, I'm like, and here's actually the true testament of a song being a smash. Whenever I'm in the car with my kids and that song comes on, my kids lose their mind.
Yeah.
My kids start singing along. It's like the only song that's current that my kids love. They are obsessed with it. So Harry Styles opened the show and it was everything I wanted it to be. It was just, I mean, the only thing I didn't want, but I'm sort of glad he didn't, was I wanted him to take that jacket off because he didn't have a shirt underneath. But then, like, not taking the jacket off was kind of rock and roll because we kind of got like a little bit of chest action, but not too much. And it was just like, oh, and his vocals sounded amazing. It just felt so glam and diva and fierce and sexual and just hot. I loved it.
I won't go into glamorous, sexual, hot, or any of that. I thought it was a very solid opening for Grammys. I thought he looked cool. It was a cool performance. I liked how they set up the whole thing going room to room. Well done.
The artist watching the artist. That was my next
note.
That was
cool. I like that.
I literally wrote that down. I loved that as well. After Harry was Billie Eilish, and I love Billie Eilish, but that performance was boring as fuck. I don't know why, but it just did not land with me. I was bored.
I just feel like I've seen that before.
Yeah, me too.
There was nothing original about it.
And I love her. I just expected something special, like Watermelon Sugar. Even though it was like a straightforward performance, it felt special to me. Anyways, same with Haim. Well, actually, no. At first, I was a little underwhelmed with Haim. And then I loved it when the drummer, who's also the singer, got up and started playing guitar and then went back to the drums. And I'm like, you know what? If for nothing other than just showing young girls and guys how badass musicians they are, just the musicality of it, I really enjoyed it.
I don't get them. I don't feel that they're big enough to be in that ring of artists. So.
I didn't mention the song. I don't love the song.
I don't think they've had a hit song yet. You know, you got Taylor Swift and Harry Styles and you have all these big giant artists up there, then you have them, and then you look at a snub like The Weeknd, and you're like, yeah, I'm sorry, but I think The Weeknd had a better year than Haim.
Yeah.
And all the lip syncing was just a little much.
Some artists clearly were, and I'll get to that, but Best New Artist went to Megan Thee Stallion. Deserved, I think. Congratulations mm-hmm. to her.
Agreed.
The Black Pumas performed, and mm-hmm. I didn't get the hype about that. I'm like,
I love that Color song. That is like the best song of the year.
Really?
Oh, you don't love that Color song? Oh, my favorite colors. What a great record.
I thought it was just, wow. All right, anyways, next, this might surprise you and everybody listening. It surprised me. The best performance of the night, and I'll explain why, in my opinion, was DaBaby.
Yeah, he's great. He's so talented. If you guys don't know DaBaby and you don't know his talent, just Google DaBaby freestyle and maybe Hot 97, because I know there's one at Hot 97 he did. The guy is stupid talented. He's so good.
I had no idea. It's one thing to be a great rapper, but also he's a great performer. I'm thankful that I got to watch that little package beforehand, and just it was really nice and humanizing to hear him talk about his kids and mm-hmm. that being the motivation for him. God, I'm crying now. I'm still emotional. But that performance with his super dope Chanel outfit and conducting it. And then the white people in back, they were like judges. Like I was like reading into the performance. I was like, they look like they're dressed like judges. And
he's a phenomenal talent.
I think I also just didn't know what to expect. And also that song that he had on the radio, that was like a monster hit. It was like, it's not like a Kanye song. Like the song's a good song.
He was on a lot of songs this year too. What a year.
Up next, Bad Bunny. Loved that performance. Oh my God. I was so proud of it. I started crying during Bad Bunny 2. My second favorite performance of the night. I was not crying, but I was literally screaming when Dua Lipa performed, gave us a medley. And as somebody who's been a huge Dua Lipa fan since day one, since before she had a hit, because her music was sent to me and I'm like, oh my God, this is fabulous. To see her grow as a performer and get better and better. She used to not dance. And not only did she dance.
She's not really a great dancer.
Shut up.
I like when she passed the mic. She's lip syncing and she passes like hold my mic while I'm lip syncing to do like some weird cheerleading move. Then she takes her mic back. I'm like, was that really necessary?
Oh, shut. You're such an asshole.
Was anything she I did just not said lip, an actor?
She was did not lip sync. She did not lip sync her entire performance. She just had, like most pop acts do, the chorus pre-recorded, and she sang on top of it. Okay.
Gotcha.
Her entire thing was not lip synced.
I can't tell if she can sing or not. Every performance I've seen, there's been some lip syncing element to it.
She can definitely sing. Anyways, she not only danced, she gave us a full-on old school dance break. I loved it.
Oh, it's like a stripper performance for me. I mean, when she took that top off and like started
a mood.
What, you think I'm like poo-pooing on that? I'm telling you how great it was. What are you nuts? That was amazing.
She gave us outfit changes, choreography.
She's like Kendall Jenner that does pop music.
Oh God.
That's
no.
What she looks like.
Kendall Jenner has like zero personality. Dua Lipa's got personality.
She's nice. She's a cool chick.
Dua Lipa or Kendall Jenner?
I've never met Kendall Jenner.
Oh, I loved it. She is the new gay queen. I'm telling you, it was everything. Okay, quickly, we got to keep it moving. Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak.
Didn't you feel like that was a Chappelle Show bit at the beginning? Just the whole like them reenacting a period of time. It really felt like a skit, but I loved it. I thought Bruno was so cool. And I actually thought Bruno was better when he was doing the Little Richard segment in the death segment.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Anyways, their original song, Taylor Swift performed, thoroughly enjoyed it. Also loved that we got a little medley. Loved that she was twirling her little dress around at the end. It was great. Same as Dua Lipa. There were some to track. Singing live over pre-recorded vocals.
I think they had to do that. And I'm not like ragging on anyone for doing it. I can't just jump up and down and say, that's you as a performer when you're performing to track. That's all I'm saying. Taylor, I know she can perform, but it was two track.
But there were some that were straight up lip synced. Like, I'll get to that later.
Yeah. I think we have the same one in mind.
Yeah. Best pop solo was Harry Styles. Bruno was great in his Little Richard tribute. Lionel Richie was great in the Kenny Rogers
tribute.
Oh, he was so
good doing Lady. That was wonderful.
I fucking love that Lionel Richie's in his 70s and bitch is still giving us like, look at what he was wearing, like a, like his outfit was fierce. Like he's still giving the camera the look,
you know, and he's still
And like you could tell he's working out in his 70s. Like Lionel Richie is fit. Brandi Carlile did her tribute. That was great. Brittany Howard and Chris Martin did theirs. That was great. Then next was the country segment. I had never seen Mickey Guyton perform before. And that song I, for some reason, had never heard before. But that song is so powerful. And I loved that Mickey Guyton song. Miranda Lambert, whatevs. I'm not a huge fan of hers or the song.
Yeah.
Maren Morris, I was actually disappointed with because I love that song.
I hate to agree with you on that one, but it did not show how great she is. And she's great. You guys heard me crow about that record. Maybe it's the setting. I don't know. You're right. There was something definitely missing. You didn't get the power of that song. It's such a great, Bones is such a great song.
Yeah.
I don't know. And with John Mayer, I thought it would have like really knocked me out.
Yeah. Song of the Year went to her, and I had never even heard that song before. I Can't Breathe. That's interesting. Megan Thee Stallion performed next.
I loved her performance. I loved her part.
Then she was joined by Cardi B, who lip-wrapped her entire performance.
It was embarrassing. It was so bad.
There was nothing live about the Cardi, and I was just so disappointed by it. I mean, I wouldn't call it embarrassing.
It looked a wreck. It sounded a wreck.
There's a few things. First, I thought Up was cool. Like, I loved the, not, it wasn't like green screen, but the way that it was presented, I thought it was cool. It just, like, it was like 100% lip sync. Like, at least if she was like 50% live. And also, she had the most ill-fitting, not flattering at all.
It just looked a wreck.
The costume was a mess. The wig I did not like. And then when they did WAP, I almost wish that they would have been the very last performance of the night. So they could have done the fucking original version and not like this, like, watered down, every other word censored. Like, if you're gonna do WAP, fucking go for it and do WAP, you know?
It's just a shitty song.
Oh, I love the song. And I do love that, you know, they had the whole, I love that it was a stripper performance. I love that. And then when they were like scissor sister on each other, I'm like, this is hot. Like, I love that.
Yeah,
and I love that it upset so many people. I'm like, it might have been a mess of a performance.
That's all I care about. The performance was just a hot mess.
It might have been a mess of a performance, but it's still going to be the most talked about performance of the night.
I don't know.
Is there another performance that it was more talked about?
I don't know if anybody's talking about a moment of the show. I mean, I don't even know how well the show is going to do. Overall, I loved the show. I thought it was completely indicative of the times, and I feel like they nailed every category for once. Good show.
Post Malone performs next, and I just
Weak
did not
song.
Like... Yeah, yeah, I did not
song.
Like that performance. I don't
Me
care
neither.
About that song.
I love everything he does. He's charismatic, but lame.
Yeah, super lame. Dua Lipa won for Best Pop Vocal Album. I love that, like, everybody got their moment. Everybody won.
Yeah.
At least on the show. Yeah, Dua Lipa won. Lil Baby performs next. Whatevs. I wasn't as impressed as I was with, like, DaBaby. You know, like, that's like, wow. Mm-hmm. And then Lil Baby, I'm like, whatevs. Beyonce won for Best R&B Performance. I was a little underwhelmed with Doja Cat. I know she can do better than she did. It wasn't a bad performance. I've just seen her do better performances. And I'm like, you should bring your all for the Grammys. I liked it, though. Anyways, Taylor Swift won Album of the Year, which is interesting that she would lose Pop Vocal Album to Dua Lipa, but then win Album of the Year.
Her album, I wouldn't say it's a pop record. Dua Lipa made a pure pop, disco, dance record. Taylor Swift, none of her songs printed through on the radio this year, but as I said, when it came out, it'll win the Grammy for Album of the Year because it's a perfect album. It's so good. So, no, it didn't shock me at all. I actually thought they got it right.
Willow did do well on the radio.
I don't think so, dude. It's how long you hear it for tells you how good that it does. It came and went very quickly.
Anyways, you know, I'm not the biggest BTS. I was not the biggest BTS fan. I do like their newer stuff better, but I loved the BTS performance. And
all right.
I was so impressed that they were not in Los Angeles. They recreated the stage and they recreated the look of the Staples Center in South Korea.
They got more money than God. They could do anything they want.
That was so cool. I love that Dynamite song.
That's a good song. I'll give you that. It's a great straight ahead pop song.
And I love that performance. You did not like the performance?
No.
Anyways, Roddy Ricch, like, why was that the last performance of the night? Like, Roddy Ricch, The Box, that was like boring.
Big song, though. That's why, I guess.
Record of the Year, Billie Eilish. I mean, it was cute, but I don't know. Her saying she didn't deserve it and Megan Thee Stallion deserved it. Her brother was like, bitch, no, we deserved it.
Her brother's like, hey, I made this record, okay? Like, I want the credit for the record I made.
I know. Anyways, well, that's the Grammys. We've still got to get to J-Lo and all of the other show. But first, I'm hungry right now. Oh, my God. I want some Magic Spoon. Talking Grammys took it out of me. You know, growing up, we did not have cereal like Magic Spoon. It was all junk and crap and sugar. And Magic Spoon, let me just read to you, 0 grams of sugar, Mm-hmm. 13 to 14 grams of protein per serving and only 4 net grams of carbs. An entire serving, 140 calories. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. So if you want a healthier option for you and your kids that they will actually enjoy, check out Magic Spoon. They've got some limited edition flavors this month, cookies and cream and maple waffle, and so many others to check out, like cocoa, fruity, frosted peanut butter, cinnamon. Go to magicspoon.com/Perez to grab the new flavors or a custom bundle of cereal to try today. And be sure to use our promo code Perez at checkout to save $5 off your order. That's magicspoon.com/Perez and use the promo code Perez. This offer is good now anywhere in the US or Canada, but only when you use our code at checkout. All right. Did they or did they not? Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez breaking up. So they did break up, and then somebody planted the story. Somebody confirmed to the New York Post that they broke up. I'm going to assume, reading between the lines, that it was A-Rod's team, because I don't think J-Lo is that entrenched in the New York Post that she would give them the exclusive that they broke up.
Yeah. Seems below her.
Yeah. But maybe it was her team. Either way, one of them planted that story and it ran as a Page Six exclusive. Then, less than 24 hours later, People Magazine got an exclusive that they are working things through, like an official statement from them.
Right.
I need to be very careful with what I say, because I have some exclusive information and I don't want to I don't even want to say the relationship to me, but I'll just say I don't want to get my source in trouble. And you know why it's true? Because my source told me not to run the story. My source only told me after they found out they broke up, expressing relief. I'm like, oh, thank God Jennifer is out of that situation, because certain things have been going on over the last few months. And I'm keeping it very generic. A warning to Jennifer Lopez: you should break up with him.
I could have told you that when they started dating. He's not a keeper. He's a social climber. He always has been. He's a liar.
A manipulator. Oh, God, I want to give you all the details, but I can't. So hopefully this gets back to Jennifer, and
she knows. She knows by now.
One of the other reasons my source did not want me to run the story is because they're afraid of retribution. They're afraid of what Alex Rodriguez will do.
There's nothing to be fearful of if it's the truth.
Not getting sued or anything like that, but just actual, like, afraid that their career might suffer or this or that. You know what I mean? Like,
I wouldn't be afraid of Alex Rodriguez, the fucking baseball player.
I was shocked to hear everything that he, and not isolated incidents.
You haven't told me a word, and I'm not shocked 1%. I've always known he's a snake. He was a snake when he was in New York playing. He's just a snake.
It blew my mind. And it's got nothing to do with that reality TV star, by the way. What I'm talking about are completely different things. J-Lo and A-Rod also claim, their sources, their people, that reality TV chick Madison had nothing to do with what went on. So J-Lo ended. I will say that I've confirmed from one of the reasons why he might have allegedly felt compelled to cheat on Jennifer Lopez is because physically she is not his type. I've confirmed that he doesn't even just have a type. Check this out. From my sources, they could be wrong, but I don't think so. He has a fetish, like Armie Hammer. He's got a full-on muscle fetish. Like, he loves bodybuilding chicks. And J-Lo is not a bodybuilding chick. Anyways, girl, get yourself out of that. You deserve better.
they're broken up. I think they're 100% broken up. I don't think there's any doubt about that at all. I think there's some family things they need to sort out. And I think there's some probably some business things. Keep in mind, they were trying to buy the Mets 15 minutes ago together.
Right.
So, you know, I think there's a lot of entangled business there.
Yeah.
And that's what's really happening.
In other news, Meghan Markle made an official complaint to ITV after Piers Morgan spoke about her. She reached out and said that was uncalled for, and then he ended up leaving the show. I would say he was absolutely fired. I don't think he quit. I think he was actually, now I just had a second thought. I think this is what actually happened. They said to Piers, apologize and you can keep your job, or if you don't apologize, you have to leave. And then I think he stupidly chose not to apologize. If that was me, I would have fucking apologized, even if I didn't believe it, because I wanted to keep my fucking job.
I mean, you could say, I'm sorry I hurt someone's feelings. However, my feelings haven't changed. I don't know if that's a proper apology, but I think he's just dug in on his thoughts of her and what's going on.
I think he did go way too hard on her also. I got to say that.
I guess I didn't see exactly what he said. I didn't. I should probably have looked into that.
It also wasn't an isolated incident. He clearly has a disdain for this woman and has attacked her viciously for years, not even just on the TV show, but in his column in the Daily Mail as well, like going after her over and over and over again. Also making no sense to me was Meghan Markle's father giving an interview with ITV, with Good Morning Britain, with Piers Morgan the day of his big storming out.
Well, that's a point that Oprah didn't make. They're crying about the press is terrible to us. Well, who's fueling the press? Your own family is. So there was no taking ownership for that part of the story. It wasn't even brought up.
Yeah. That's one of the things. I don't know. Well, I think I briefly touched on it last week, because on Monday, the day after the interview, there was one or two clips that had not previously aired.
Yeah, you said that was coming out.
Yeah, on Tuesday, even more fucking clips came out. That just annoyed me. I'm like, either make it a 3-hour fucking special or make it a 2-part thing.
Well, they want the comeback. They want the, hey, let's promote our morning show with this interview. And when you pay that much money for something, you can't begrudge them for thinking that way.
But it just, as a journalist, most people are only, like I said last week, are only watching the show. They're not going to stay.
I agree with you. I just understand what happened.
Anyways, her dad says that he's going to continue to talk to the media unless his daughter speaks to him.
Wow.
Although the parallels, though, like what he's doing is somewhat similar to what Meghan and Harry did to the royal family as well. So, you know, there is something there. Yeah, he's stupid. The Queen released a statement. It was like the most basic, bland, boring, vanilla, inconsequential statement.
Right.
Yes, these are very serious. And while recollections may vary and blah, 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 Harry claims that his grandmother, Her Majesty the Queen, was forced by, you know, the institution to ostracize him and Meghan, and, you know, he wanted to see her last year, and then all of a sudden she became really busy and blah, 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 blah.
Soap opera.
His brother has denied that the royal family is racist. And here's really interesting. I haven't spoken about this anywhere yet. Kate Middleton was spotted over the weekend paying respects to this. This was a big story in the UK. This woman was murdered, allegedly by a police officer. I don't know if you're aware of the story. Her name is Sarah Everard. Kate Middleton was spotted paying her respects at this makeshift memorial for this poor woman. Noticeably, she was spotted without a face mask and without security.
Was she outside?
Yes.
What does she need a mask on outside for?
Because at all her other public appearances over the last week, or at least one, or all her other recent public appearances, she has been wearing a mask outside. What I'm getting at was she clearly wanted to be seen. She wanted positive attention for showing up to this thing.
Well, that's speculation, but okay.
In my opinion, in my expert opinion.
It is an expert opinion.
Also, in the ongoing drama and the ripples that have happened as a result of this, there was a big blow up on The Talk, the CBS daytime show, with Sharon Osbourne when she was defending Piers Morgan, her longtime friend. And I think Sharon mishandled the situation. Some people would and have accused Sharon of being racist. I'm only talking about this one isolated incident. I would not say that incident was racist. I would say that that incident was definitely white privilege.
I buy that, but I'm just so sick and tired of everybody with their use of "that's racist, this is racist." That's a very powerful thing to call someone that you do not know.
I would say it was definitely white privilege, though. You know, she's not a lived through what black people all over the world have to.
I think that you're making a big generalization there. You're talking about a person that knows the other person very, very, very well versus a person that has no idea who that other person is at all, has no relationship with that person.
Even the way she talked to this black woman that she knows, I think was inappropriate. Telling her not to, like, manipulating her into, like, "don't you cry." I know, like, painting herself out to be the victim. I'm like, I love Sharon Osbourne, but I just don't think she handled the situation well in the moment or after the fact.
I think it's a talk show and there's a lot of honesty between two people that obviously admire one another. They do. That's what I saw sitting there and dicing up how you'd be in that moment when you think that someone that you know personally is being attacked. Look, I'm just not going to start using the word racist and saying that's racist and this is racist. It's like the whole world has just gotten carried away with calling fucking people names. People don't understand. You're just as bad as these people by doing the same thing.
Okay.
I'm not saying you, Perez. Not saying you. I'm talking about people in general following the story.
I also think she should have apologized to Cheryl after the fact. She never did. A lot of people just did not like how she treated Cheryl on the show.
Well, the show's on hiatus now.
Well,
right?
I was going to get to that. She apologized to the black community. She did not apologize to Cheryl. And then here's really interesting. After all that went down, CBS is now launching an internal review. I'm like, what? Why would that trigger an internal review? I don't get that.
Because that's where we are, Perez. That's where we are. You have a show that's based on conversation and points of view, and yet you have two people with two points of view. We better launch an investigation.
I know.
Every business is so afraid of their own shadow now because they don't want to be perceived any way that they all have to cover their bases. It's the end of our society. Free speech is fucking dead.
Oh, I've been saying that for a while now.
You're right.
They released a statement, CBS did, saying, "We are committed to a diverse, inclusive, and respectful workplace. All matters related to the Wednesday episode of The Talk are currently under internal review." Then, yesterday, folks that work on The Talk were surprised when they found out that their previously announced and planned shows for today, Monday, and tomorrow, Tuesday, the 16th, were canceled. They're on a mini hiatus as a result of everything that happened last week. And what happened was Sharon gave an interview to Variety claiming that she was ambushed by the show, the EPs. Let me explain to you what she meant by that. I don't know if you've ever been on The Talk before, but how it works is the women have a morning meeting before the show airs. And in the morning meeting, they go over all the topics. And not only do they go over all the topics, they kind of do like a quick mini pre-show. It's like, okay, what is your talking point?
Right. Where they're going to go. Yeah.
Exactly. So you know the topics and you know where it's all sort of going to go before it happens. And Sharon claims that for the first time in her 11 years of doing the show, that did not happen with that segment, that it was a last minute addition to the show. And they asked, "Hey, can we ask you about Piers Morgan?" But they didn't know, she didn't know ahead of time what questions were going to be asked, and that just is not how it's done on the show.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah.
So
I find that hard to believe that nothing has ever come up in 11 years, though. I'm sorry, I'm not going to buy that.
That's what she claims. And
I believe that's how it happened. I just don't believe the in 11 years statement.
I don't think she should be fired over this at all, nor do I think she should quit.
Well, you know what I always say, and it's almost just like social media. It's their platform. If that's what they want to push out, and if they want to say, hey, we're not doing this on our platform, fine. I think it sucks. It's their platform. Then again, those are the public airwaves too. It's funny, like we look at CBS and we look at radio and such as these corporations that own these. We own them. They're our public airwaves. So I don't know. There's a real weird line there.
Well, we've got to get to Demi Lovato. But first, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it could be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance, along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. So Demi Lovato's documentary is coming out later this month, and she's promoting it. She is on the cover of Glamour magazine talking about it and talking about her life, making a lot of headlines. You know, she claims that she's not straight, that she's queer, and that she realized how queer she is after her engagement did not work out last year. Cool, great. Also making headlines in that interview is Demi's revelation that she's not 100% sober following her near fatal overdose in 2018. She says that she still uses weed and alcohol. And I think it's interesting she said that, but it's almost like when Prince Harry spoke about the situation with the British royal family. He didn't say who, right? She didn't say how often she's drinking or anything. She just said that she's still drinking. Interesting, and I'm very carefully wording myself. What I think is interesting is that she has revealed that she used to have a problem with alcohol. Her problems weren't just drugs, it was drugs and alcohol. And now she's revealing that while she's not doing hardcore drugs, she still is, at whatever frequency she's doing it, drinking. I hope she doesn't fucking die. That's all I'm going to say. I hope this works for her. That made me really concerned for her when I read that. All right, moving on quickly. Going to try to wrap things up. Chris Harrison has announced that he will not be hosting the upcoming season of The Bachelorette. Instead, Caitlin Bristow and Taisha Adams are going to be, quote, helping.
It's Taisha, isn't it?
Taisha. I don't know how to pronounce names. Anybody's names. Taisha.
I like right. The Bristow girl. She's hot. I liked her on the show. I'm pretty sure she banged one dude and picked the other. I loved her. She was a lot of fun. She's got like the two birds tattooed on the back of her arms. She's hot.
So I don't know, whatevs. I don't have any invested interest in
The Bachelorette. I don't even like The Bachelorette. You guys have heard me talk about that show. It's just not my thing. Whatever. If you want to have him take a timeout, I think it's done. I don't know how he comes back and does The Bachelor even. The fans want him there. If you look at the sites, society has a zero tolerance for even ignorance anymore, which is just, that's not how you get anywhere, people. But, you know, knock yourself out.
We shall see. Speaking kind of tied to that, and we're wrapping it up, don't you worry. I don't know if you followed this story. Did you read about that? Even saying this is funny. I love it though. The banjo player from Mumford and Sons. I love it that banjo players are a thing. The banjo player from Mumford and Sons was promoting some right-wing writer, right? And that upset a lot of the fans that he tweeted about this guy, Andy NGO. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. And then after he tweeted about this guy's new book, it got a lot of backlash. And he announced that he's taking time away from the band to examine his blind spots. I think that that's just lame. Who says that everybody in a band needs to politically be aligned. So long as he's a good player and a nice guy, shouldn't that be what matters? Do you need to take time away from Mumford and Sons for that?
Well, Chris Harrison's taking time away to reflect as well. So, I mean, everybody needs time away to reflect on their ignorance, I guess, but I don't know.
Anyways, Vanity Fair released this explosive sort of a tell-all on Army Hammer. Did you read that?
You know, I still am not even interested at all in him. I just think, I don't know. Go ahead, tell me.
Well, it's wild because, God, I'm trying to do my best job as a parent, and it'll be interesting to see my kids when they're grown up and how they function or not based on how they were brought up. And a lot of his issues, I think, stem from family trauma and just like his dad allegedly did a lot of the same stuff that he did, according to Vanity Fair, like drugs and wild sex and all of this stuff. And it's a really interesting read if you care about any of that. And his poor wife going through it all, and she really was in the dark about everything. Wow. Anyways, speaking of relationships, Adele's divorce is finalized. And check this out. She is not going to be paying her ex-husband any spousal support. And the dude is not even that wealthy. He works at a nonprofit.
Well, that doesn't mean he's not getting anything, Perez. I mean, he could just be getting a check.
Yeah, that's true.
He could have got $5 million.
Yeah.
It just means that she doesn't have to pay him, probably because she has custody of the kid. That's usually what happens.
Well, no, they have joint custody. They have joint custody.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, then they just made a deal. That's all.
Plus, she also already bought him a house, which I'm sure was a very expensive house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's no dump.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of musicians, Selena Gomez just released a new Spanish language EP. I was underwhelmed by it. She also, in a new interview, said that she's thinking of quitting music because people don't take her seriously as a musician.
Well, the way you just read that doesn't sound like you do either.
Well, no, that's not true. I love her music. I don't love the new EP, but I love it. Not even recently, like since Naturally. Oh my God. Like that was a bop more than 10 years ago. So, but if you're not, like if you're doing it for the wrong reasons or whatever.
That's a good point. If you're worried about what everybody else thinks,
then
who cares what they fucking think? Just make music.
Stacey Dash has apologized for her past political stances.
What?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes. She said, I've lived my life being angry, which is what I was on Fox News. I was the angry conservative black woman. And at that time in my life, it was who I was. I realized and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I'm not a victim of anyone working, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, girl, you were cashing your check and I hope you saved your money.
Look, I never thought the sidekick on Clueless was going to be on Fox. But to your point, she got a big check and she got a lot of notoriety out of it. And this is a nice next chapter because now she can extend whatever narrative she wants off of that. Well played, Stacey Dash. Well played.
Yeah. Although I think she's probably needing money, which is why she's apologizing for everything.
I'm sure.
But I got to tell our listeners, about the Terp Pen XL. The Terp Pen XL is a dab pen that runs on a rechargeable battery, allowing a cordless and hassle-free dabbing experience. Simply breathe in to activate, apply the tip to your favorite THC or CBD concentrate, and enjoy. It's butane-free dabbing. No need to worry about torches or expensive dab rings. There's three voltage settings to choose from, different temperatures for those with different preferences. It's made of medical-grade materials. It's water pipe adaptable. It's got a 45-minute charge time via a standard micro USB cable, and it comes with a 3-year warranty. Go to terppenxl.com for 20% off using the discount code Perez at checkout. That's terppenxl.com for 20% off using the discount code Perez at checkout. All right, let's take a couple calls.
Hi, this is Steph from San Diego. I just wanted to call in and make a comment about some of the things you were saying about Meghan Markle in her interview. It obviously is very clear that a lot of what she was talking about in her interview was things that you wouldn't expect someone to say, or things that I'm sure she's well aware would gain negative attention to the royal family. But I think it's really important that we understand how important it was for her to speak her truth. And we all go through different types of trauma, and this is very clearly a form of trauma that she went through, regardless if she knew what she was going through or going into or not. It was something that she experienced, and I don't see that there's anything wrong with her speaking about it to the public, finally. When you've been silenced for so long, there comes a point where you just start to speak, and I feel that she did a great job speaking. I feel that she could have done a lot worse. She could have said a lot worse, and I'm sure much worse happened to her. But I think it's only fair that we give her the opportunity and the benefit of the doubt that everything she said was well-deserved.
Oh, that's it. She cut off.
I said that.
Then maybe she wanted to repeat you.
All right.
Hey, Perez and Booker. It's Kate from Chicago. I actually am calling about the Real World OG topic. And Perez, I was a big Real World fan. In fact, I still watch The Challenge, and I'm probably too old for that. But I'll tell you this. You know, we watched The Real World to see a bunch of young, hot people living together and to see what would happen. And I don't know, to watch a bunch of old people get back together again, and I'm sorry to say, and I shouldn't talk, but a lot of them look a little long on the tooth. So I think it's going to be kind of boring. And I hate to say that because I am a fan of the franchise, but just wanted to put my two cents in. I prefer the young, hot group of people living together and as opposed to the OG. Sorry. Bye.
Well, as I said last week, it's not a new season. It's just an extended reunion. So if you view it that way, then it is what it is.
All right, let's wrap up the calls. By the way, do you rent or own your home? Sure you do. And it's hard work. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. All right, 800-721-1185. We're at the end of our phone calls, so we could use some new calls.
Yes, please. Share our link, PerezPodcast.com, and have a great week, everybody.
See you next week.
See ya.
All this month on Pluto TV, women take the lead in celebration of Women's History Month. Drop in for the best of female talent in film, TV, documentaries, comedy, and more, with big movies like Charlie's Angels, Last Holiday, and Pretty in Pink. Plus, shows like Inside Amy Schumer, Moesha, and Sister Sister. There's something for everyone.
This is Denny Somach, host of The Rock Podcast. I'm a producer, author, and rock historian, and I want to share with you some of the greatest stories in rock and roll.
Well, Bonzo was the best hard rock drummer ever, hands down. I mean, no one comes within a mile of him.
I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. John Lennon had this wise guy look on his face, just like me and my friends were just a bunch of wise guys, street kids.
The first guitar I ever had was Spanish guitar, and I couldn't really get the hang of it. I was only 13.
I had never written a song before, actually, and so Jim says, okay, everybody go home and write some songs, you know. And so I went home and wrote Light My Fire.
Join me for The Rock Podcast, the only podcast that matters, from Podcast One or wherever you get yours.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.